Thank you, choir, for the beautiful message and song. Thank you, Melissa, for your children's sermon this morning. By the way, they had 20 people yesterday to go and pick strawberries. How many overstuffed themselves while they were in the field? Well, at least Melissa admitted she did. Had I been there, I would have eaten as many as I picked. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. That's after Jeremiah, in case that helps. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, reading verses 11 through 16. Generally, when you're reading from a book in the Bible that's not one of those usuals or favorites of folks, you wait an extra moment or so to listen for the pages to stop turning. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. What do you think of when we mention shepherds and sheep? Immediately, many people will visualize our traditional scenes of the shepherd's story at Christmas. Either the shepherds sitting out in the fields with flocks of sheep doing whatever the sheep are doing, or shepherds sitting around the manger. Others may think of the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that has been labeled the Shepherd Psalm. Many will imagine idyllic pastoral scenes, scenes that depict peace and safety and prosperity. After all, sheep are rather passive creatures, and in need of overwhelming care and safe pastures. Isn't that what we all think and know? Of course, many Christians will also think of Jesus' references to the Good Shepherd in His teachings in the New Testament. The Good Shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep, recorded in the Gospel according to John. Or maybe you'll think of the brief parable about the shepherd in Luke 15 who leaves the 99 in the folds where they will be safe in order to go and to search diligently for that one lost or strayed sheep. In fact, in our passage today, God says that He is going to gather the lost and the strayed and the weak. This metaphor of the shepherd, whether in the Old Testament idea of God as the shepherd, or the idea in the New Testament of Jesus as the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep, expresses fullness. Fullness of God's love, fullness of God's concern for we who are so oftentimes in our lives defenseless, in need of safe pasture, perhaps strayed or lost or weak. In fact, writing of this particular passage, Margaret O'Dell says that the metaphor may be so familiar that it has lost its power to illumine the raw power and ultimate resolve with which God seeks out and claims the scattered sheep. In other words, we may think of so much in the idyllic scenes that we really lose sight of just what God will do to gather and care for we who are weak and lost and strayed. She goes on to say, but how do the sheep come to such safety? We must think about what is risked for their sake. Now, I must admit, and many of us might admit, that we probably do not think much about the effort that God expends on our behalf. Except maybe around Easter time, when we're approaching Easter, then we might think about what God expends because we are so familiar with the cross. By the way, you all know my mind kind of jumps around sometimes. And Mary and I were talking the other day, and she asked a question, and she wanted me to ask a question, so I'm going to because it just came to me. I was about to forget. I told her to remind me this morning, but she's at home sick, so she can't. And if she were here, her voice is about gone, so she wouldn't be able to really do much to remind me. But we look at the cross, and we look at these empty crosses. We talked before about remembering what God does in the crucifixion when the cross is not empty. But on this brass cross, there are three letters, IHS. Anybody tell me what they mean? What words they stand for? Okay. In His service. Traditionally, in many liturgical churches, you will have folks tell you, in His stead. I'm glad that you said that. Because that's the way we usually think of that. But, once again, my mind, doing strange things, I thought about this as an acrostic for three Greek words. This is original with me as far as I know, so if you like it, thanks. If you don't, just don't throw anything at me. I is the first letter in the name Iesu, Jesus. Now, while the word for son begins with a U or an upsilon, it has a rough breathing mark on it, which has an H sound. Huiu. Iesu Huiu. Jesus. Son. And the first letter of Soter, Savior, is an S. So, if it's worth something to you, as a possible different way to look at it, Iesu Huiu Soter. Jesus, Son, Savior, as we are in His service as well. And it is in that idea of Jesus as Son and Savior that God ultimately does show us His shepherding for us. So we generally don't think a lot about the effort expended, but I want us to keep that image in our minds of the Good Shepherd, of God as Shepherd, expending so much for you and me. We don't think about it often, even after we get saved, except at Easter. But in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet deals with both bad and good shepherds. In fact, just before the passage we read today, he talks on behalf of God about the bad shepherds. The bad shepherds that are seen as expending their energies for their own good, often at the expense of the sheep. Various theories as to whom these references are made range from poor leaders in Judah to foreign powers. But in either case, God speaks harshly about them through Ezekiel. Even at the end of the passage we read today, the reference to those who are fat who will be destroyed is probably a reference to the shepherds who get fat off of the sheep at the sheep's expense. They wage wars with each other and on the sheep by their overall disregard for the welfare of all the sheep. Of course, we see this in various leaders throughout the world, political and religious. In the first 9 verses, then, God speaks woe for the shepherds who mistreat His sheep, who have fed themselves and have not truly cared for the people. Verse 10 ends the indictment section against those leaders and begins a section of promise, though, for the sheep, for you and me, and for all of those who are God's people. Ezekiel describes the gathering of the people by God in his analogy of the shepherd gathering the scattered. He indicates that this is a very personal thing for God, because interestingly enough, in this passage, in these verses, the personal pronoun I, that is God speaking, I, occurs 15 times. It is a very personal thing for God to care for the sheep. The gathering in of the sheep emphasizes the saving character of God. He is returning the sheep to good pastures where they will have abundant food and abundant water. And while we think of that in physical terms, oftentimes, it's not just physical, it's also emotional and spiritual. In fact, this nourishing care of God for His people is seen in the use of the word feed or feeding. The root word is most often translated shepherd or shepherding. God says, I will feed them with justice. It is a reminder of God's proper rule with the people and reminds us that all nations will ultimately come before God. And it reminds the nations that Israel belongs to no one but God. And that when we come to God as His sheep, we belong only to God, not to other powers. No matter what else or who else may have power. This is important for you and me to remember, I think, today especially, in a world of emerging powers and countries that want to become superpowers. As Ezekiel uses this metaphor of a shepherd, we are also reminded that there are many bad shepherds in the world, some of whom claim to rule on behalf of God. But God is the one true shepherd, whose motivation is not power or greed or self-gratification. The good shepherd is motivated by love for his sheep, a love that nurtures and brings care. And one who is resolved to rescue those who are lost, those who have strayed, those who are weak. While God will gather His people, His sheep together, and reestablish them in their own land, He will also bring them prosperity and peace. Now, this prosperity we often think of, and His people thought of, Israel, thought of that prosperity and peace as something that would be material. And while sometimes that does come, the prosperity and the peace that I think God is speaking of here is more our spiritual and emotional riches and peace. But for those sheep who come to God, God will demand an ethic of caring for each other just as God cares for us. one important item to notice in the overall theology of Ezekiel and the message of Ezekiel throughout is that, like Jeremiah, there is a shift from sins or righteousness of the nation being rewarded or punished to the sins or righteousness of the individual being rewarded or punished. In chapter 33, verses 18 to 20, we find, "When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he shall die for it. And when the wicked one turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live by it. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his own ways." This creates a sense of freedom for you and for me and for all who will come to God. A sense of freedom to follow God's call and to enter into a wholesome and saving relationship with God on the basis of our commitment to God and God's commitment to us. And the sheep who hear that call and respond readily, the prophet says, will be richly fed by God. With good pasture, lying down in the fat pastures of God's graciousness. And that term for lying down does not bring with it the idea of a restlessness, but rather resting assured and in peace and in confidence. It's not the sheep who settle down and then are constantly moving around looking for the wolves, but rather it is the idea of the sheep who lies down and who truly finds rest because of God's assurance of love and care. And they are not just the rich and the beautiful and the famous, but are those who have become lost in life, those who have strayed away from God, those who are crippled by hardships in living, the ones who are seen as weak and frail, and even some of those who are seen on the outside as strong, but inside are crumbling. God's promise is nurture, is care. God's promise is a healing love that feeds us with the rich goodness of God. Are you hungry for that feeding? Is there something, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, draining you and leaving you hungry and weak and crumbling? The Good Shepherd calls and promises to feed you richly. Hear his call. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you with admittedly a lot of things that perhaps make us feel weak, inadequate, perhaps crumbling or lost or strayed. Sometimes we try to cover them. Sometimes we find ourselves in desperation, from deep down inside, wondering as we wander. Remind us that you are the shepherd who seeks for our good, for our nurture, for our healing, and who is diligently seeking. Help us to remember that if we open our ears to your call, the call of the Good Shepherd, that we will find ourselves richly fed and cared for. And when we do, help us to help others hear that call. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 213. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. If in His shepherding, God is leading you to make a decision, perhaps a decision for the first time to publicly acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, we would welcome you to do so here. If you feel that God is leading you as a shepherd to join with our fellowship, a place in which to find nurture and care and from which to minister, we would welcome you to come and to share that with us. For if God is simply calling you out of weakness, straying, hunger, to be richly fed in recommittal, we would welcome you. Hymn number 213, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.